All right, let's turn in our Bibles now to the book of Psalms, and in particular Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I'll read the whole psalm for us so we have the context of our message this morning. Psalm 139, written by King David. And David wrote this: O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you and we praise you and bless you for the word of God, for thy word is truth. And Lord, what we've read this morning is very challenging, but at the same time very wonderful. Reveals something of how great you are, and then it reveals how small we are. So Lord, we pray that you would just minister to each and every one of our hearts now as we look into this passage. And may it prove fruitful for us. May it prove, Lord, your will and way in our hearts and lives. And we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. This psalm could be broken up really into four segments. The first six verses deal primarily with what we call God's omniscience, omniscience, which means the fact that one of the attributes of God knows everything. The word omniscient means that. He knows everything. Omniscience. The next six verses give us the little insight into God's omnipresence, or the fact that God is everywhere present at one time. Then the next six verses give us a little bit of insight into God's power, or we might call it God's omnipotence, omnipotence, all-powerful. And then the last few verses would deal particularly with God's holiness or purity. And so again, we're looking at some of the amazing and the wonderful attributes of God. And it's good sometimes just to stop and take a look at who God really is and what God's really all about. You know, we so often talk glibly about God, you know, God, 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 God. Well, that's all very good, but who's God? And what's God got to do with things? And where does God fit into the world? And all that sort of thing. We talk very glibly, but this morning I trust as we go through this passage and we look at some thoughts about it, that'll give us a fresh look, as it were, at God, some fresh insights into God, who he is, how amazing he is, and again, as we said, how small we are in comparison. And yet, despite all that, God loves us and cares for us and wants the best for us. One of the amazing things about God, he is totally self-sufficient. He is the eternal I am. He doesn't need us. We kind of carry on like God needs us. You know, if it wasn't for us, we'd be in trouble. Sorry, God would be in trouble. No. God doesn't need us. Before he ever created anything, God was already in perfect eternal bliss. The Father and the Son enjoying a perfect love relationship throughout all eternity. Sometimes we get a little bit inflated, don't we? And we think, look, you know, how good is man? No. As the psalm writer could say in another place, you know, he knoweth that we are but dust. Isaiah could say, even the nations are like a drop in the bucket. He said, yeah, actually they're nothing, yea, less than nothing. I mean, God looks at the 7 billion people on planet Earth. Does that intimidate him or bother him? No. He just looks at them in one sense. I say very carefully, they're just nothing. What's 7 billion people going to do to God? You know, we kind of got this twisted view, haven't we? You know, look how great man is. And we forget how great God is and how gracious he is and how merciful he is. Because if he wasn't gracious and merciful, we'd all be gone. But notice some of these aspects here of God. Now, I just loved some of these thoughts here. Back in Psalm 139, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. David's already come to some conclusion that God knows all about me. God knows all about me. And nobody else knows all about me. People I know some things about me. And I know some things about myself, but God alone knows all about me. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Notice what he says, thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Doesn't mean whether I'm sitting down, doesn't mean I'm walking around. He said, you know where I am all the time. You know everything about me. Lord, when I think about that, right now God knows exactly where I am, exactly what I'm doing, exactly what I'm saying and everything else. He's not making me do this, but he knows that's what I'm going to do. He knows everything. He knows our down-sitting. He knows our uprising. David said, not only that, thou understandest my thought afar off. Before I ever think the next thought, God already knows what that thought will be. You imagine that? And then I'm going to have maybe, depends how long I last here on planet Earth, I could have another 1,000 thoughts. God knows all of them already. He knows our thoughts are far off. From when we're born until when we die, God knows all our thoughts. He knows our down-sitting. He knows our uprising. It's an amazing God, isn't it? But, you know, we'd expect a God to be that great and that amazing. Too often we have a Santa Claus, what I call a Santa Claus God. We've got this God sitting up there and, you know, come on, God, do this. I'm in trouble, do that. We have a total wrong concept of God. And that affects our relationship with God then as well, because if God's just a Father Christmas, we can just call every now when we need him. And in the meantime, just quiet up there, please, I'm busy, you know. No. We need to understand something, that God is far greater than what we can fully comprehend. He He knows and understands. Not only he understands my thoughts, he knows what I'm thinking and why I'm thinking that way. He understands it. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, we can think we know what someone else is thinking, but we really don't know. Not fully the way that God does. He understands my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. So it doesn't matter where we go, God knows about it. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. You know all about it. You're acquainted with all my ways. God knows everything I'm going to do today. He already knows about it. He knows everything you're going to do today. He knows everywhere you're going to go today. God knows it all. He is omniscient. Now, these truths are very, very amazing and very wonderful, but they can be very challenging as well. He goes on and says, there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Every word. From when we first start to mumble goo, 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 until when we get to the place we go dribble, dribble, dribble. He knows every word. Every word. You think about that. I mean, I don't know. Maths used to be one of my favourite subjects at school. But you think about this. 7 billion people on planet Earth today. We'll go with those figures. I wonder how many words one person would speak in a day and then multiply that by 7 billion. I mean, you know, and God, the Bible says that God knows all that. He knows it all. There's not a word in my tongue, but Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Imagine if we could press the pause button and jump up to heaven and say, what are these 7 billion people going to say in the next hour? He said, I'll tell you every word. Every word. Imagine that. What a wonderful and amazing God. That he knows every word. It really is. It really is amazing. There's not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and lay thine hand upon me. He said, Lord, you know everything about me. And notice how he finishes this little section. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. It's good, isn't it? Our little minds can't comprehend it. How is it that God can know everything, about everyone, about all things all the time? Amazing, isn't it? As David said, such knowledge is too wonderful. It's high. It's more than we can comprehend that God is so great. But thank God he is that great. Amen. We don't want a Father Christmas God. He's not going to help you. We want a God who is so great that he knows all things. So that when I come to him, he's not going to have to sit there and scratch his head and go, now I wonder what we're going to do today for them. I'm not sure I'll be able to help them. You know, there's a few things there I need to think about. No, God knows it all already. He doesn't have to come up with new ideas. He knows everything about everything. And notice what he says next. We move into this fact that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. If you think God knows everything, it's difficult. Try and work out how God could be everywhere at once. It's amazing, isn't it? It's what the Bible teaches. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? It's like that. Now, where could I go so that I could hide from God? David, think about it. God already knows everything. So that would tend to suggest if he knows everything, there's not going to be a place where you can hide. But you can understand David, he's trying to rationalize, he's trying to think through this, and he's thinking, okay, God knows everything, so if he knows everything, is there somewhere where I could hide that God couldn't find me? Whither shall I flee from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? And obviously he says, well, if I ascend up to heaven, you're there. So I go up into heaven, that's God. And then he said, if I Make my bed in hell, behold, out there. He said, there's nowhere that I can go where God is not there. Now, do you understand that? Can you comprehend that fully? You say, well, God is spirit. Yes, that's helpful. God is spirit. But when I look in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, John said, I was caught up into heaven, and I saw one sitting upon the throne, like an emerald rainbow. It's amazing. Creatures around the throne worshiping God. So that was God sitting on the throne. Now, just a minute. You said God is spirit, and he's everywhere. Correct. John, you said you were in, according to heaven, you saw God sitting on the throne. That's correct. He said, I don't understand that, neither do I, but I'm pretty excited about it. Amen? That God is everywhere present. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. He said, it doesn't matter where I go, God, you're going to be there. How good's that? And yet we worry and we fret and we panic and we do all those things, and yet God's right there. And yet we live like he's a million miles away, or he's around the corner somewhere and he's looking for us. They've got to be here somewhere. You angels, can you check it out? I'm not sure where they are today. No. God, you know, the Lord Jesus, didn't he say, I'll never leave you or forsake you? You have a look in Hebrews where it says, I will never, never leave you. It's a double negative. I will never, never leave. I'll never, never forsake you. And yet, as I say, sometimes we live like God's some distant deity out there. And, you know, oh God, can you hear me? Are you there? Please answer my prayer. Well, it says, what's the problem? I'm right here. But I thought you're in heaven. I am. All right. Good. Right, okay. Yep, good. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me, I'll wait till it's dark, and then I'll go out and do something. God says, just like light to me. Because God is light. What does the light do? Drives away darkness. Darkness and light don't coexist. Light drives away darkness. Amen. And so David says, well, surely the darkness would come. Even the night shall be light about me. Oh my. You think David was trying to hide? I don't think that he was, except on occasions. You think about after he'd committed adultery and murder, I think he was trying to hide from God then. For 12 months he tried to hide from God. Didn't confess it, didn't deal with it properly. Amazing. And maybe, I don't know when he wrote this psalm, whether it was during that time he had these thoughts, if I just stay in the dark, God won't be able to find me. Oh, God found him, all right. Oh my. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. David said, it really doesn't matter. Night or day, God's there. He knows where we are. He knows our need. I mean, I said there's two sides of this. There's the wonder and the awe of it. Then there's the fear of God. It ought to cause you to go, oh, Lord, I need to be careful. I need to live in a way that's pleasing to you because you know everything. You're right here. I'm not doing this in secret. You already know about it. And you're here to watch me. And then you look at the next part of it. He says, okay, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Oh, so he knew about you back then, David. Yes. I want to read a commentary about this. I think it helps us to understand this a little better. He says, this is how he says it. Thou art the owner of my inmost parts and passions. Not the indweller and observer only, but the acknowledged Lord and possessor of my most secret self. The word reign signifies the kidneys, which the Hebrews were supposed to be the seat of the desires and longings. So when you see reins, they're talking about kidneys, and they say kidneys was the seat of all the desires and longings. So we don't think that way today, do we? We think kidneys, you know, whatever. It indicates here the most hidden and vital portion of the man. This God does not only inspect and visit, but it is his own. He is at much at home here as landlord in his own estate or proprietor in his own house. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. There I lay hidden, covered by thee. Before I could know thee or aught else, thou hadst to care for me, and didst hide and away as a treasure until thou should see fit to bring me out to the light. Thus the psalmist describes the intimacy which God had with him. This is before he's ever born. In his most secret part, his reigns, and his most secret condition, yet unborn, he was still under the control and guardianship of God. That's what he's saying. It's amazing. David recognised not once you're born that you suddenly get... God knows all about it long before you're born. He says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. In thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. He said, before I was ever born, it was all written down what I was going to be like. God had it written down in his book. It's amazing, isn't it? And yet today we have this constant push for abortion, and we want to go full-term abortion and all this foolishness. God says, listen, not the way to go. Before that person's ever born, I've got all the members written down in my book here. I know all about them. Yeah, but they're only a bit of tissue. No. Not in God's mind, they're not. Now, these are individuals that God's given life to. And yet, today, because we've thrown out the Bible and thrown out God, when we think we can legalise almost anything, and probably one day we'll try and legalise everything, it's sin and wicked. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. David said, if I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. He said, Lord, just the thoughts of you, how precious and how innumerable. Lord, just the more I think about you, the more I think about you. And the thoughts are just so amazing. Lord, you know everything about me. Everything about me. Everything. Think about it. Take some time to ponder this passage. Lord, you know everything. My thoughts are far off. Every word. Every word. Everything about me, Lord. You're always with me. You're everywhere present. I can go to China, you're there. I can go to Argentina, you're there. I can go to Alaska, you're there. I go to the North Pole, you're there. I go to the South Pole, you're there. Wherever I go, I can go to the moon. I can go to Saturn, Platt, you know, Jupiter, you name it. God's there. He's everywhere. How can that be? I don't know. He's God. That's the amazing God of the Bible. Not the God of the Hindus and the God of all the other false religions. This is the God, the eternal I Am, who created all things. The omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, the eternal God. It's amazing. And then you look down into Psalm 139 again, and the following verses tend to speak to us of God's holiness or purity. So we read down a little further there. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred, I count them mine enemies. It's a bit of an interesting passage, isn't it? I thought the Lord Jesus taught you to love your enemies, correct? Okay, so how do we deal with this? Well, does God love people? Yeah, God so loved the world. I think that includes everybody. The Bible says God hates the wicked. Is there a contradiction? No. It's their wickedness that God hates. That's the difference. He loves the individual because he so loved the world. That it's their wickedness that he hates. And the Bible says we're to hate evil. It, it's to be an abomination to us, because it is to God. We were looking at this in the prison on Friday night, and we were looking how, you know, God hates certain things. And one of the men said, "Can you show us that passage in the book of Proverbs?" I said, "Let's have a look at it." In Proverbs chapter 6, it says, "God, six things doth God hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him." Things God hates. He hates sin. We treat it so lightly today. Oh, well, they couldn't help it. You know, they're a bit depressed. They're this, they're that, and we explain it away, we justify it, we do all that, and yet God hates it. Now, to someone looking on, that he hates them. No, he hates what they're doing. And David said, "I hate evil too, don't you worry about that. If they're your enemies, then they're my enemies, because I'm a child of God." And so then he closes that out with a challenge for us. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, I thought we said he just understands all our thoughts and words and everything. That's correct. He's not saying, "God, can you just check to see whether you know?" No, God already knows. What he's really saying is this: "You know my thoughts, please show me my heart and my thoughts. Because now I realise that I don't fully understand myself. I don't fully know my own heart or thoughts. Lord, could you please show me my heart?" You say, why is that important? Because the Bible says out of a man's heart are the issues of life. Very important. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of the heart are the issues of life." And so, Lord, I want you to search my heart, not because you don't know, but because I don't know. I want you to show me, is there anything in my heart that's not right with you? And any of my thoughts that are not right, Lord, please show me. And see if there's any, is there any wicked way in me? Sometimes it's good to have a look at this psalm and reflect upon some of these truths, isn't it? God already knows. It's a little like, you know, remember in Genesis where God tested Abraham, or proved Abraham. And it wasn't because God didn't know, it's because Abraham didn't know. And so he gives him a test. "I want you to offer Isaac up on the altar." He said, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it straight away," and he did it. The test wasn't for God, the test was for Abraham. "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Not for God to know. He already knows. It's so that we can know. So that we can be aware of our hearts. So that we can be aware of our thoughts. So that we can be aware of our ways. Are our ways pleasing to God? "Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." And if we really accept the truths in the first verses up until verse 23, then there's wisdom in asking God to search our hearts, isn't it? Because he knows everything. "Well, I reckon I'm a pretty good person." Not according to God. It says we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. We're all in need of the grace of God for salvation. There is none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible tells us. Jeremiah tells us the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's why David is wise in coming to God and say, "Search my heart. Lord, show me, is there anything in my heart? Lord, please show me, is there anything in my thoughts? Lord, is there anything that I'm doing that's not pleasing to you?" You know, we do well to do that occasionally. We do well to do that. You say, "What will God show us?" He'll show us what we've asked him to show us. "Lord, what's in my heart? What's in my thoughts? What's in my life that may not be pleasing? Could it be that perhaps I haven't been as thankful as I should have been? If you haven't, God will show you. Because that's the will of God, to give thanks in everything. You say, how do you go? I heard you had a bit of a cold and a tooth pulled out and a few problems. Yeah. Did you thank the Lord? Yeah. If for no other reason, I said, oh Lord, I'm so thankful for what I have at the moment compared with what some other people have. Oh my. Oh my. And now, would you rather be 100% healthy 100% of the time? Amen. But in everything, give thanks. Maybe as we come to God with these verses in mind, he may say, well, you really haven't loved me this week the way you should have, with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. You've been busy with other things there at times, and you kind of left me out of it a little bit. He may come to us and say, you know, you talk about the Bible, you don't really love my word. There's a couple of days you didn't even read it this week, and yet you say you love my word. He may say, your prayer life hadn't been all that good recently. There are times when you just didn't pray about things. And what are we to do? We pray without ceasing, with prayer and supplication. We're to do that. We have a spirit of prayer. Again, we spoke about that at the prison, having a spirit of prayer. One of the men said to me, or said that night, he said, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, what's that? Because it talks in Romans, we're in Romans 12, about praying. And he said, so that means that we probably should pray in tongues, doesn't it? I said, why is that? He said, well, when you pray in tongues, you don't know what you're praying, so you can just do it all the time. I hadn't actually heard that before. Well, he's right. When you pray in the tongues of today, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, no, you've missed the point here. We're to have a spirit of prayer. It ought to be like Nehemiah when he faces the king, Artaxerxes, and I said, what's going on? He said, and he prayed and then spoke. It's just a reflex action, as it were. He's got a spirit of prayer. He's praying without. Is that you and I? And maybe if we say, Lord, search me, how are my ways? And the Lord say, you know, you can do a bit of improving on your praying. Things could be a little better there. It could be, you know, the Lord might say, well, yeah, you've been a little bit down on some of your family duties this last week. Some things you could have done and you didn't do them. Some aspects there you maybe need to look at. You know, as a husband, as a wife, you know, the Lord might bring some of those things to mind. The Lord might say, you didn't talk to anybody about me this past week. What happened? You say you have a love for souls, but you didn't talk to anybody. What's going on? You're asking me, God says, you're asking me, you know, what about, Lord, what about my heart? What about my thoughts? What about my ways? God says, well, you know, you need to give a little more thought to sharing the gospel with those around you who are not saved. Pretty important. People are dying, going to hell. You read the newspapers there. You see the death notices. And I've said, wife, I wonder how many of these are ever going to go to heaven. Too late now once they're dead. But I wonder if anybody shared the gospel with them. Maybe we say, Lord, search me. And God says, you need to be a little more faithful in witnessing for me. It may be the Lord says, you kind of lacked a little bit of love for the brethren this week. You didn't pray for any of them. Might be an idea if you did a bit more of that. That'd be good. I don't know what it is, and as individuals, it'll be all something different for all of us. It may be that God says, young person, you weren't obedient to your parents the way you should have been. A couple of times there during the week, you actually a bit deceitful there, you weren't really obedient. It could be, that's what God might say. Remember, he knows everything. He knows it all. He may say to us, This past week you've been worrying, and you're not supposed to worry, because I'm all-knowing, and I'm everywhere present, and I'm all-powerful, and so I'm able to take care of your problems for you. You don't have to worry. Yeah, but God, you don't understand. Yeah, he does understand. He understands our thoughts are far off. He knows it all. It may be he would say, you've actually been a bit of a hypocrite this week. Remember those people you're talking to? And they went away and said, what a hypocrite. I don't know, I'm just saying these are some of the thoughts that God may bring to mind as we ask him, search me, O God, know my heart. It may be that we were kind of a little bit envious of someone this week. I wish I had what they got. Oh, really? Paul says, having food and clothing, let's be content. Yeah, but no. And God knows our thoughts. He knows our heart. It may be we shared some things about other people. It's called gossip. We need to be careful. Because God knows, remember? He knows every thought, every word which I spoke this past week. He knows about it. We said before, imagine if God, this was a video screen, and God said, okay, we're going to start with Leon this morning, and we're going to put everything up on that screen that he did, thought, and said during the week. And you can say, oh, all the best, Leon, and then we're going to go to you next. And then to you next. How would we go then? God already knows it all. You see what I'm trying to get across? God knows it all. So let's be transparent before the Lord. Let's be open before the Lord. Remember, even darkness can't hide us from him. We can go there, we can go there. We can hide. We can't hide from God. Let's be open before the Lord. Let's be transparent before God and praise him and thank him for who he is and say, Lord, if there's anything in my life that's not pleasing or honouring to you, please show me. So I want to deal with that. You are worthy of all my praise and all my thanks and all my love. This morning in closing, are you saved? You see, what we've been talking about here, these thoughts and ways, etc., are called sins in the Bible. And sin is what separates us from God. But salvation is what brings us into the family of God. It saves us from the penalty of God, which is separation from God. And God is able to accomplish that because of the death of Christ on the cross and his burial and his resurrection that third day, physically and bodily. And the wonderful thing is, the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to get baptized, speak in tongues, or do anything like that. It's repentance and faith. Turning to God. Turning away from anything and everything. Turning to God. Say, God, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. All those things that have been mentioned this morning, I'd be guilty of most of them pretty much. But I know that up till now, I've never been a true child of God. This morning, I want you to forgive me and save me. And God will do that right there and there where you're sitting. And from that point on, you'll have eternal life and you shall never perish. So let me encourage you with that. If you're not saved, you've never trusted Christ as your Saviour, why not make this morning the day of your salvation? Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you and bless you for this privilege and opportunity to share this time together. We thank you for the Word of God and we thank you for the God of the Word. Lord, these thoughts are wonderful. They're too high for us. And yet we're so thankful that you are such an amazing God, far beyond our human comprehension, and yet such a personal God. You know everything about us, our thoughts, words, deeds, everything. Before we were ever formed in our mother's womb, all our members were written down. Lord, you know everything. You know what's going to go on into eternity in the future. And we're so thankful that you're such a great and amazing God. But more than that, we're so thankful and praise you that we can know you in a personal, intimate way because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary when you placed on him the iniquity, the sin of us all, As the Bible says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures, so that whosoever comes to you, Father, in repentance and faith, asking forgiveness, you freely forgive all their sins, make them one of your children, and from there throughout eternity, they'll be a child of God. Father, we thank you for these wonderful truths, and Lord, for God's people this morning, I pray that we would be serious about these scriptures and particularly the closing verses there, Lord, that we would take some time to get before you and allow you to search us, to show us if there's anything, thoughts, words, actions that are not pleasing or honouring to you, that we might deal with them by your grace, and Lord, we might be that child of God which would bring much glory and honour to our Father's name. And so, Father, we thank you and we praise you and bless you in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go